is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
It's 12:43. This is Nation Radio. One afternoon game in the NHL. New York Islanders up 2-1 over the Boston Bruins. Josh Bailey and Matt Molson for the Islanders. And Milan Lucic scoring for the Boston Bruins. They're looking for their first back-to-back wins. The Bruins are. I think like in, it's like a 17 games or something. They've been win one, lose one. They really are not looking like the defending Stanley Cup champs right now. I'm sure they're hoping to get things together here by the time things hit the playoffs. But right now, not looking too good. Now it's 12:44. We're joined by Dennis King from MC79 Hockey and various other locales throughout the internet. What time is it at your house right now, Dennis?
It is 4:14, Wayne.
4:14. So that's like, it's 12:45 here. That is so weird. I could never figure that out. So,
I don't know what to say about that. I just think it's, just emblematic of how little Albertans care about Newfoundlanders.
Well, as you said the other day, you've had to come out here and build Alberta for us, and now you're helping run the hockey team. So, what can't Newfoundlanders do?
Stop drinking and fornicating.
Nice job, Dennis. Let's start with Hemsky. It looks like the other NHL teams didn't offer much based on what we're told, so the Oilers signed him. What's your take on that? Did the Oilers just fall into some really good luck here?
Yeah, I think they sort of had to be dragged kicking and screaming into what can only be considered a tremendous deal. I mean, I understand that people will look at his counting stats from this year and cite his lack of goal scoring and his point per game production having fallen. But, I mean, obviously you look at the previous 6 years, and the only problem with Hemsky is if he could remain healthy. He's playing a pretty robust style this year. He's not backing off at all. It would appear, at least anecdotally, that his shoulders are certainly healed. So, I mean, I think that most people would bet that he'll turn back into a 65/70-point player. Those guys are not cheap. As I wrote about earlier in the week, you can let those guys walk away, but then you'll wake up some morning and realize that you signed Christian Eselius for $5 million a year.
And the funny thing about it is that Hemsky, and I don't know that anybody is acknowledging that, or at least a lot of people aren't, Hemsky is very important to the development of Jordan Eberle because of things like zone starts, right? Eberle is getting kind of the softer parade there while Hemsky does the dirty work.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I didn't bring that up to you because I think there's sort of a there's a different movement now. And when we talk amongst ourselves, and when I say we, I include you and amongst the community that has conversed and stayed in touch for years and sort of grown with the whole idea of how much underlying stats and I guess secret of stats, because not everybody knows about him, contribute to a winning hockey club. I didn't even bring that up about how much he protected Eberle, but I mean, obviously, yes. I mean, most teams, you'll play most good teams, you'll have two lines. You need two lines that can match. As good as Eberle is, I mean, I'm not convinced right now that he can do it. I mean, for instance, you know, I'll just bring it back to an easy-to-understand example. If Edmonton plays Vancouver, do you expect Eberle to be able to put those points up if he has to play against Ryan Kessler or Henrik Sedin's line?
No.
Probably not. I mean, Hemsky has done it for years and years and just finished like -6 and -7 playing on terrible clubs. So, I mean, obviously he's money in the bank when it comes to this exercise.
What do you think about the trade deadline deal that sent Gilbert away for Schultz? What's your take on that? Dennis?
Sorry, Lane?
Yeah. What's your take on the trade for Gilbert for Schultz? How do you feel about that deal?
There's obviously a connection with the Hemsky re-up, because I was hopeful in one regard that the Oilers realized the value of Hemsky, but in seeing the way that Tom Gilbert was cast aside, more than ever, I'm convinced that they sort of, like I said previously, got kicking and screaming into a great deal with Hemsky. Tom Gilbert is a two-way defenseman. I mean, he's got a great first pass. He can put up some points, and he's also a defender. Nick Schultz is by no means a smash-mouth defenseman. He does it with a little bit of a more aggressive nature, but if I take your wallet out of your back pocket or somebody else comes up and punches you in the mouth and steals it, you're going to be out money either way. Mm-hmm. I mean, defending is defending. I think the layman fan could look at Nick Schultz and say, okay, well, he's a little bit more aggressive. He's a better defender, but, I mean, that's not necessarily true.
The Oilers have finally have, after years and years and years, and Dennis, we can go back to the McTavish era on this if we want to, but they finally have a wicked power play, and now as this season rolls on, the refs have put the whistle in the pocket, they've stopped calling penalties. The hockey gods hate us, Dennis.
Yeah, and it's even worse than you think, because Tuukka Rask got hurt today, and I think the only solution for our goaltending was an offer sheet for Corey Schneider or Tuukka Rask. So Tuukka Rask got hurt today, so I'd expect there to be five or six banana peels in Corey Schneider's future. But yes, I mean, I mentioned this on Twitter earlier this week, and it's only the last couple of days now I've seen everybody bring it up. So, I mean, I'm not prouder than anybody else. This came to me about a couple of weeks ago. But, yeah, the Oilers build a strong power play. Their penalty kill improves. And all of a sudden, more than ever, the onus has gone back on five-on-five play.
So what's the solution? Keeping guys like Hemsky, obviously. Dennis? Dennis, can you hear me? I think we've lost Dennis. We'll try to get him back. Dennis King from, we're going to talk to him about his new column, so I'm hoping we can get him back. He's been doing scoring chances over at MC79 Hockey for a couple of years at least now, and started recently a column, which I think is going to be weekly or every couple of weeks, and interesting insight there as well. So we want to talk to him about that. I also wanted to talk a little bit about Magnus Pajärvi and Leonard Petrell too. His column is called Pucking Around. The latest was from February 29th. And some interesting question-answer items come up with Dennis on that particular column on the MC79 Hockey. So do we have Dennis back? Not yet? Okay. Still working on getting Dennis back. Did tell you about the score earlier, 2-1 Islanders over Boston. Darren Dreger was on TSN last night talking about a conversation he had with Steve Tambellini about adding two pieces on the defenseman. Says he wants at least one top-end defenseman, maybe two in the offseason. That's an interesting item. We'll maybe get to Dennis a little bit. Dennis, tell us about the column that you're writing now on MC79 Hockey. Is that a weekly deal or...
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm just going to try to make it free form. And, I mean, I'm not really a guy who's buttoned down in any regard, so I'm going to try to write once a week and just, you know, mostly anything that just so you're looking for different angles or you're looking to put a different spin on something, because obviously things are a lot different than when I just started writing about the Oilers, because it's so competitive now. And if you don't get to something within 12 hours, somebody else has covered it. So what I figured I would do is just try to take something a little bit different and expand on that and just make it my own, and that's the uniqueness that will come from it.
I'm always interested in the names of the people who send you emails. They seem to be interesting names, sort of a combination of two different people.
Yeah, you know, I should have invested years ago in being able to predict certain narratives and new storylines. Because the best thing so far was this guy named Bob Tenser emailed me, and he predicted that Petrie would replace Gilbert all of a sudden, and I'll be damned if it didn't happen the next day. And the guy who talks about Drew Stafford being a potential future member of the Oilers, I think if you haven't read that 15 times, you probably don't read local papers.
Help me with this, because I was not impressed with the idea that Leonard Petrell was going to be playing on what I would call the second line with the Nuge and Eberle. Can you hear me now? Dennis, can you hear me? Man, sorry about that. I wanted to ask him about the shuffling of the lines that turned into a pretty good evening for Leonard Petrell in terms of scoring chances. Dennis counts them at MC79 Hockey, and he was 5 to the good and 2 to the negative at even strength last night. I wasn't expecting the kind of game that Petrell had. He actually showed up and did some really good things. Coach Tom Rennie said, you know, he might try them then again. He did say something along the lines of it wasn't a Picasso. It was more like painting the barn, but the numbers tell us, and by eye, at least from my point of view, I thought that Petrell had played pretty well last night during his time up on that second line. Dennis, what was your feeling about Petrell's performance last night up on that number two line?
I mean, he obviously did a great job. I watched the game, and it was a harrowing experience from my end. I think it was akin to that first year at Survivor was on television. I let my girlfriend convince me to watch it. But, yeah, I mean, he had four scoring chances, and three of them were great scoring chances. And, okay, he didn't finish, but, I mean, I think he was 5-2 with scoring chances for and against.
Yeah.
So the puck was in the good end when he was on the ice. I wouldn't advise that you do it every game, and I think it was sort of a bit of faith intertwining last night with Toby Peterson being a healthy scratch for the Stars. And the last time you probably saw a move like that where somebody was elevated beyond what we consider the usual role, it was when McTavish had put Toby Peterson on the power play. I imagine you remember that.
Oh, yeah, very well. There was a lot of reaction to that. Two quick ones before we let you go. What improvements would you like to see the Oilers make over the summertime? Is it that bottom, to 3-4 lines at forward and a couple, or at least one good NHL defenseman, or do you think they should look at goaltending?
I'd say there's three things. I'd say you've got to get a real goaltender to help out Dubnyk. And Happy Boolin is done. I mean, he's done in any long-term plans for the Oilers, because if he ever recovers, and who does at the age of 39, it's not going to fall in line with the Oilers, with the Oilers' path of success. You got to get a real defenseman. I'd say you got to have a third-line winger, like a number 9 winger, maybe like a Dustin Penner on a cheap contract. I love Joel Ward, and the Oilers still have a lot of cap space, so I'd probably bring a guy in like that. And obviously, it's the defense. You know, the NHL is broken again. I mean, you know, we had a lot of scoring in 06, and it was on the back of all the power plays that were being called. You see more and more obstruction coming in.
Yeah.
The Oilers won't be able to make the playoffs in the power play alone, so it behooves them to get better at even strength. They need one real serious defender, somebody better than Nick Schultz. And the sad truth is they probably need two.
And one final one, when Toronto changes a coach, it reminds me of when there's a new pope. There's so much news and information, and the smokestacks change color. And new coach in Toronto, Randy Carlyle, your point, your first initial reaction, Randy Carlyle in town and Maple Leafs coach. Ah. Dennis, we'll get you next time, buddy. Sorry about that. The connection between Edmonton and Newfoundland, not as good as we wanted it to be, but that was the final question, so we'll let him spend his Saturday afternoon in peace. But we thank Dennis King. Interesting guy. Check him out. He has a new column up at MC79's site. He also comments a lot on Twitter now. You can check him there, and he's at various blogs as well, commenting on things as time goes on. Dennis King, we thank him for his time from MC79 Hockey. Now, coming up in the next hour, we got Tyler Dello from MC79 Hockey. He's had some interesting insight into the last couple of weeks. We'll talk about Hemsky, the trade deadline, mainstream media, and get his take, since he's in Toronto, on the Randy Carlyle situation. And before 2 o'clock today, Rob Peterson from Regina Sports Cage on CKRM, he's the voice of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, going to talk about a couple of Oiler prospects who are playing there now. Martin Marinson, who was traded during the year, and Brandon Davidson, who's had a fine junior career in the Western Hockey League in Regina. And of course, he's part of the Pats and an Oiler prospect who may be signed this summer, along with about 6 or 7 other defensemen. So we'll take a break and be back. This is Nation Radio, presented by Edmonton Motors.